The Power of the Holy Spirit's a little series we're on and called Move Me, and we've been trying to get us in a place where we could just have the power of God on our life. You know what I'm saying? I just don't believe you're going to get it by writing a TV preacher for his little handkerchief thing. I don't. I don't believe you're going to get it by speaking sentences backwards or something crazy like that. That's not going to happen, okay? I'm talking about the real deal. I'm talking about the power of God. Is there a way to get myself in a place where God's power will be on my life? I don't want to just do fellowship church as something I just do. That's my job. That's my business. That's what I do every week. That gets old after a while. After like 28, 30 years in the ministry now, if I'm relying on that kind of mentality, that's going to kill the preacher. Amen? I need God to show up. I need God to be in my life, and I want Him to be in your life. Amen? So that's what we're talking about. So y'all ready to roll this morning? Here we go. The first message was position for power. We started this study in John 21, then we flipped the page and continues right on with the book of Acts. Are y'all listening? Are y'all awake today? You okay? All right, stay in here with me if you don't mind. Here we go. So we start in John 21, then Acts 1, and we'll finish the end of Acts 2 today. So those three little chapters is what we've been hanging our hat on. Certainly that's not everything about the Holy Spirit, but that is a good place because that's when we really saw this all happen with the Holy Spirit. So we want to learn from right there. So John 21, we learn three things. If you're going to get the power of God on your life, you've got to position yourself for power. First thing we said was get naked. You've got to lose the self-righteousness. You've got to lose the self-righteousness. You're all that. Then Jesus says, good, you don't need me then. You're fine. Okay? You got to lose that kind of mess. Keep going quick, Raj. You got to get down on the inside of you. Peter had to know not only that he loved Jesus, but he had to get to the place where he knew that Jesus knew he loved Jesus. Do you have it down like that? Not only do you know you have a relationship with God, but do you have it in your mind, in your head, that Jesus even knows that you love Him? If you're always doubting and struggling with that, that power is not going to come on your life. I don't believe it. And then finally, you've got to get moving. What do you mean? That means you carried yourself. You've walked. You've done your own living. You've done what you're going to do. You put your confidence in you. You've got to stop doing that. You've got to start following Jesus Christ. You've got to let Him start moving in your life, carrying you, taking you where you need to go in your life. Second message was parameters for power. There's certain things I saw as I was studying that seemed to be inside the fence, things that we need to do that they did before the power of God fell in the book of Acts. There were some things I saw. The first one, it must be personal. These guys believed without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Many infallible proofs. Do you have your own salvation nailed to the wall? Can you tell me, Gary Clark, I know I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. Can you even tell me where you were? Where you were when you got on your knees or wherever it was, somebody talking to you. Can you say, hey man, I know it's personal with me. And also, can you look back now in your life and say, let me tell you something. Not only do I believe in Jesus, He's been with me. There have been so many things in my life that just proves to me that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my God. Can you say that? Well, don't expect the power to fall if you can't. If you're always, well, I'm not sure. I don't know. There's their God, you know, or He's bad to me and all that. Forget it. Keep looking. You got to be in the right place. They're in the Mount of Olives, which wasn't that far from Jerusalem, but that's not where He told them to be. So many people have 1 foot in one place and 1 foot in the church. 1 foot here in the world, 1 foot over here. And they're wondering, why in the world don't I have the power of God? Because look at you, try to run like this. It's hard. Amen? You got to get in the right place. I have a preacher friend of mine that told me, he said, man, wherever God is, that's where I want to be. Amen? Do you go to churches sometime and try to nitpick them to death? Why don't you ask yourself this question? No, maybe they don't do or we don't do everything just like you like it done. But let me ask you, ask yourself this question. Is God there? Does God show up? Are people being saved? Are lives being changed? Are you growing in the Lord? Amen? And if that's where you're at, get in! With both feet! I think that's important for the power of God to be on your life. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Don't try to push your own agenda. So many people think they can package this thing called the power of the Holy Spirit, and they can do this or say this or act like this and somehow they're powerful. Tell you what, friend, you got to do what you need to do, what's right to do. And I believe if you'll continue down that path, the power of God will be active in your life. But if you try to push some little formula, your little agenda, it ain't going to fly. And also, there must be peace. What do I mean by that? They were in one place, in one accord. There was unity. Have I drove you to boredom so far? Are y'all all right? Y'all cool? They were at unity with one another. If you have aught with somebody else, or you got problems with other people in the body of Christ, don't expect the power of God to be on your life. A lot of times in church can be the worst place for people that criticize other people. Look down their nose, hey, this, what Sister So-and-so been doing, ain't doing, or something like that. But coming off high and holy like you got the Spirit on you, you don't. That's bull. It ain't happening. You need to get along, love people, love each other. And then you'll be surprised what might happen then. Amen? Last week's message, last one, we went through a study of what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit because He's the one that told us it was happening anyway and He was coming. So I think it's important we see what Jesus says. And so we looked at John 14, 15, and 16, and then we went back to the book of Acts and we saw three things that happened. The purpose for the power of the Holy Spirit. The purpose for the power of the Holy Spirit is not so that you can fall down the floor and cluck like a chicken. I just don't believe it. I'm sorry. I don't believe that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Or that you can do a dance or put on a show. I'm not saying you don't get energized and lively for God and dance a little. That's good. I don't mind that. Okay? But I thought about it in my office this week. Why in the world don't people fall down and flop like a chicken on Inglewood Beach when the sun's setting every night? That's when I feel like falling down and flopping, when I see my great Creator. Don't you say? You ever been to Inglewood Beach? You don't even know if these people are believers or not. But that sun will set, and you know what? Often you'll hear something. It will be an what? Applause. Many times, people at the beach, they will watch the sunset, and they will clap. Have you ever heard that? Yes or no? Hey, man. Hey. I'm all for getting excited about Jesus. All, you know, it's just funny to me, though, that it's got to be at the end of a service or it's got to be when the cameras are rolling for the Christian TV. I got a problem with that. Y'all listening or not? I know, I say not always popular what I say, but that's life. Why did the Holy Spirit come? Why is Holy Spirit here? Three things in the book of Acts I saw clear as crystal. So they could speak up about Jesus. In language that other people could understand. That's what they did. It was a miracle what happened there. Galileans speaking French. They thought they were drunk. Remember what I said last week? How many went and got drunk this week just to see if you could speak French? I hope none of you. My wife got on to me for saying that last week. I said, they won't do it. She said, y'all won't. The purpose for power. Also, we saw so they could stand up. They stood up in the face of all those enemies that had just killed their leader, Jesus. Don't you think that took something outside of themselves to have that kind of faith and boldness? They did it anyway. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, we saw last week, and we're finishing up and going into this part right now. We're ready to roll. The power of the Holy Spirit comes and is in our lives so you and others can be what? Saved. What gets me so often when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, it seems to have something to do with other than people being saved. It seems to have something to do with other than the gospel being preached clearly. And, you know, so that's where I got there's a rub going on inside of me because of that. Amen? I'm just trying to teach. Help you understand. Okay? Do I have all the answers? Absolutely not. And this little four-week preaching series is not covering but just a thumbnail of what the Holy Spirit does and can do. But we do know what I've been teaching is the first real evidence of the Holy Spirit showing up. Is that correct? Yes or no? Yes. So I always like to go back to first things. I really do. Especially if they're in the Bible. And I think we can get clarity. So let's go with our fourth message right now. Move me. What do I want in my life? Here's what I want. Pop it up. I want the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Like that fellow that holding that lightning. I mean, that's what I want, is the power of God flowing through me. That's what I want. God in me. The hope of glory. That's what I want. So, how can I know if that is the case? How can I check myself out to see if that's the case? What can I do to facilitate that? God's power flowing through me. Wouldn't you like to know, say, from the guys, from the real deal back in the book of Acts, from the Bible? That's what I want to do with you this morning. Let's go with it, Raj. Here we go. Acts 2:41. We're going to finish the chapter of Acts. We're also going to look at Galatians 5:22 this morning. As we read, you're going to see some statements pop up. I'm going to come back to them, and we're building a case. Okay? On the presence of the power. You can get this online tomorrow. You can download it yourself. Boom, 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 boom. It's a piece of cake. You can go over this tomorrow, so if you want to let it sink in better. Let's read, and some things are going to pop up. Here we go. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now this is incredible. These are Galileans who had denied Jesus, losers really, turned tail and run, and now they're standing up, speaking up, preaching, and 3,000 people are getting saved in one day. You try that yourself in your own strength. This is God showing up. Okay? So what have we seen? So they gladly received His word, and they were baptized. Let's keep looking. Now hang in here with me. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and prayer. So they continued steadfastly. We're trying to see the presence of the power. How can I see the power of God and have the power of God in my life? They continued steadfastly in these things. Keep going. Verse 43. Fear came upon every soul. And many signs and wonders were done by the who? Say it with me. The who? Apostles. So they feared the Lord. Now I'm writing this and I'm going along with and taking notes and reading the Word. And I've read this many, many times, this passage. Just things are popping out at me. I want to know when the presence of the Holy Spirit is showing up. And ain't no doubt about it. He showed up right here. We all agreed on that, yes or no? Big time. This was the birthing of the church. It's incredible. Jesus said something was going to happen. You know what I mean? I don't think they had a clue. So God is showing up. And these things are popping out, and I'm writing them down. And all that believed were together, and they had all things common. So they were together. They had all things common together. By the way, that word common, I'll just say it right quick right here. The church is not communism. But we do have things in common. We are a community. We are people together with something in common. We come together in the name of Jesus. But we're not forced to come together. Government or someone is not making us do that. We do have that community together. We do give. We had an offering where all that offering went into one thing. And we take that all that offering, that one thing, and we accomplish goals for the body of Christ here. In community. You understand? But the difference is, we do it voluntarily. We do it out of our own free will. We say it here, don't give it, you can't give it cheerfully. And I don't think you ought to be in a church under bondage. Well, Grandma was there and Mama was there, but I hate it. Find another church. Amen? This ain't communism. You ought to go and be in a place in a community of believers because you want to be there. And if you don't want to be here, it's just a matter of time. I'm going to be saying bye to you anyway. Right? Say. Community. They had things. They were together. They had things in common together. That doesn't mean they were all alike. They had things in common. It doesn't mean that at all. It means they were all different. And they came together under one person, Jesus. And that was their common bond and community. Amen? Let's be honest. How many thought you'd ever be in a church with a crazy talking southern preacher like me? You never thought it would happen, did you? Right? Say. But it's Jesus. A lot of you would say, Pastor, I know you talk funny, but I love the way you talk about Jesus or you preach the Bible. That's what you're under. Is that correct? Yes or no? That's community. That's awesome. They sold their possessions and goods. They parted them to all men as every man had need. It's interesting. Why did they do this? Well, a lot of the reasons they did it is because God gave them that spirit of giving.
But they also did it because many were being displaced. Because a lot of these new believers in Christ were being hunted down like dogs and killed, their homes being taken away from them. And so the body of Christ opened up their arms and gave, and they took care of one another. That's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Isn't that incredible? They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their meat with gladness. And say that last part with me. And what? Singleness of heart. So they continued daily with Him in one accord in doing these things. So we're just building a case and we're learning. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we see that they did a couple other things. They praised God. They had favor with everyone. And because of all these things that we saw happen in the book of Acts where I started reading this morning, because all that was happening, the Spirit was moving, the Lord could do this. Say it with me. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be. So this presence of the power of the Holy Spirit is very important. Y'all agree? You listening to me? This is the ultimate goal of the power of the Holy Spirit, is for folks to be saved. Why do we have Fellowship Church? Why y'all got Fellowship Church? It's not so you can get a hat or a t-shirt. It's not so you can get my teaching materials. It's not about that. That's all a little part of Fellowship Church. We have Fellowship Church so people can be saved. We have fellowship. Yeah, praise the Lord with me. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. People like me, a hell-raising teen when I became a Christian, and my mother, who was an all-out drunk, we want this to be a place where people like me and people like my mama, Chuck gave a powerful testimony yesterday how he had been on heroin, how he was nearly ready to kill somebody, going to murder him. And God showed up right on the right time and changed his life. I want to be here in Inglewood so God can show up and change people's lives. You understand? But if we do this without the power of the Holy Spirit, we're done. We're shot. It's over. Amen? We must have His power. So, let's go back and look now. And you really need to wake up and help me now. We just read now. This is what we're going to learn right now. Here we go. I just call them this, and where did I get them this week? In my office. Here they are. 9 witnesses to the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. 9 witnesses of the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. 9 things I saw that were witnesses of the power of God. And here they are. Pop them up. Gladly received God's Word. Gladly receive God's... If you want the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you must stop saying, well, I don't like that Bible. I ain't going to read that Bible. I don't understand that Bible. That's fine. God will let you live your life, your whole life, without any power on your life. But if you want the power of God, you gladly receive that Word. Instead of me getting up here preaching, you getting all mad, back at me, you better be eating that stuff up, man. Unless I'm a goofball off the wall teaching something that's insane. But if it's the Word of God, receive it! Gladly! That's if you want the power. How do you know, preacher? Hey, look, if He'll do it for these unsaved 3,000, why won't He do that for you? Say, somebody. Now, those that were fussing at what Peter said, that wasn't flying. But those that listened to Peter and gladly received it, we said their lives were changed. Amen? The second witness. Bible says they were baptized, but it goes beyond that. Be obedient to the Lord's commands. Is baptism a command of the Lord? Somebody take a wild guess at that question. Yes. He commanded you to be baptized. Right, Pastor? That was His command. Y'all don't want to be baptized. Fine. Live your life in disobedience without the power of God on your life. Would He do that? I don't know. You'll have to ask Him. You know what I mean? According to the book of Acts, He would like you to go ahead and be baptized. Amen? That you believe in Jesus, that He died and He was buried and He rose again. And do it publicly. But not just that. How about the other commands? Do you, when you read the Word of God, do you try to get out of stuff because you want to live your life the way you want to live your life? Or do, when you read that, you go, golly, I'm wrong. This isn't right. I need to change that. God, you know that's hard for me to change it. If you'll help me, I'll change. How many ever had to do that when you got saved? You just stuff in your life. You had to say, Lord, help me. This isn't right. For me, it was filthy. I'd cuss you out in a minute. Wouldn't even think twice about it. I was tickled to do it. And hopefully you'd swing at me and I could beat the crap out of you. That's how I was. Excuse me. And that's a teenager, man. Who knows what I'd have become if I'd have kept growing and getting older? A criminal. Amen? I had to give that up. It took me 6 months to stop saying F this and F the other. Excuse me? It was hard. But God helped me. Amen? I still say things I shouldn't. I know you're saying that right now. I say this, the way I talk now is a whole lot better than it used to be. Amen. Here we go. Number three, they were this, be steadfast. They were steadfast. And it says several things that they were steadfast in. But if you want the power of the Spirit in your life, you need to be steadfast. What does that mean? Oh, I don't think I'll go today to church. Oh, I don't think I'll give this week. Oh, I don't think I'll read the Bible this month. Oh, but I got the power of God on my life. You are lying like a dog. You don't have the power of nothing. You got the power of laziness is what you got. Amen? Listen, I know this isn't easy, but do you see what I'm saying? I think sometimes it's easier for us to write a TV preacher and get a handkerchief than to be steadfast. Amen? Say, can you teach me to fall down and flop like a chicken? That would be so nice, wouldn't it? A lot easier than being steadfast, isn't it? Say, I know this is ugly. They feared the Lord. If you want the power of God in your life, there needs to be an awe and a reverence for a holy God. Do you, when you go out at night like this last week, you look at that moon and go, wow, what an incredible God. Do you do stuff like that? You don't mind that, do it like that, like I just did it, but... Or the sunset, or things in your life. Are you in a place in your life where little things happen, but it just comes out of you that you're respecting and you're in awe of God? That's a good thing. Praise the Lord. Yeah, come on. Praise the Lord. You can praise the Lord here. Amen? If it's just three of you, you want amen. That's fine with me, brother, sister. Here we go. The next thing, we saw that they were together and they had things in common. They voluntarily served the Lord. If anybody asked me why we've been successful at fellowship, it would be a lot of things, but one of the things is the volunteers. That's crazy. And it's not just volunteers, because you can have volunteers sometimes and they can be a nightmare. But if volunteers are volunteering because they love Jesus and they love people, and they don't want the credit, but they want God to get the glory, volunteers can absolutely, they can just take turn Inglewood upside down for Jesus. Amen? We need that here at Fellowship. Don't ever expect me to have 50 on staff or something. It ain't happening. But I would love to have 500 volunteers that are serving the Lord. And we've already got a pretty big crew of volunteers, don't we? Let's see your hand this morning. No matter how big your task might be, how many at some point in time at this church you volunteered and done something here at Fellowship Church? Can I see your hand? Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, yeah, come on, do some of this. That's good stuff. You matter, man. You're important. It's huge. How many knew that voluntarily serving the Lord was part of the power of God coming down? It is. Freely give. They did this. They freely gave to the work of the Lord. Some people have been giving to God for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, but it's not been out of the heart that it needs to be out of. It's been more of just tradition or whatever. Friend, you need to freely give. People give out of guilt because they feel bad. People give in church offerings because they think they can buy God off or something. That's not it. I freely received. I'm going to freely give. He's given to me. I'm going to give back because God's a good God. And He teaches me that in His Word. And He'll honor that. And not just one of these is going to work. I mean, they did this stuff. Amen? Continue in unity. How often? Somebody tell me. Every day. If you're a pain in the rear end and want to be a pain in the rear end to other people, don't expect the power of God to fall on your life and to come into your life. How many got people in your life that are a little difficult to get along with? Can I see your hand? How many, because God's a good God and He helps you, you manage any way to get along? Amen? Continuing. The church is no different. We're not the same. We're different. This message already made a bunch of you mad this morning. Forgive me, would you? Amen? Number 8. Pop it up. Thank you. They praise the Lord. That's what it said in the last verse in Acts. It said they praise the Lord. I think you ought to praise the Lord regardless. They were praising the Lord after many of their loved ones. You don't read this in the text, but it's there. It happened. Many of their loved ones were butchered and murdered. Many of them, when they gave their heart and life to Jesus, lost everything they had. Many of them martyred. It's interesting. But you don't praise the Lord because Sister so-and-so said, what? Come on. Grow up. Get over it. Why? Because the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is more important to me than that. How about you? Amen? Number 9, they walked in the favor of the Lord. They had the favor of God on them. That means, this doesn't mean there wasn't difficulties or hardships, but somehow they had that blessing of God on them. That favor of God. And they had favor with others. Of course, Satan ain't never going to like you. Y'all know that? Say. If you think God's going to make Satan like you, ain't happening. You have an adversary, the devil who goes about roaring lion. But you do have a God who can cause relationships to be smooth, where you can function. He does that. I believe that with my whole heart. And He'll work through you to accomplish these things. So, are y'all all right, or I put you to sleep with all this? Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. I know you're clapping because you think we're done. We're not. Here we go. That is not the end. That is not the end. And by the way, if you're wanting to run out of here real quick because it's the end, probably you don't have the power. That's ugly right there. Here we go. Come on. I want to do real quick. There was 9 witnesses in Acts 2. I'm going to go through these 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5 real quick. I'm not going to preach a new sermon. I want you to see this. You can get in the message on called Spirit Control if you'd like it. This one. With great in-depth teaching. But I want to look at the 9 fruits real quick, and then we're going to do something that I did in my office. Here we go. Pop it up. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They're called the fruits of the Spirit. If you're an orange tree, trust me, you will have oranges. If you're a Spirit-filled person, you will have fruit. You will have the fruit of the Spirit if the power of the Holy Spirit is evident in your life. Got it? Well, I can't do that. No, you can't. It never was about you. God can do this through you. Look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Don't just read them. Love. I put this, sacrifice, not scratching. Here's what I mean. You didn't have to scratch Jesus' back for Him to die on the cross for you, so don't make others scratch your back for you to love them. You love them because He loved you. You can love people. And you can love God. Joy. An old-fashioned term is knowing God lives in my house. That ought to make you happy, brother. Amen, sister? God lives inside of me. It's called the abiding presence of God in the fancy theologians' dictionaries. Peace. Forgiven. Forgotten. How long? Forever. The peace of God and peace with God. Those are fruits of the Spirit in your life. Long-suffering. It means enduring with patience the unendurable. It means bearing up with a smile. This is the way I like to put this long-suffering stuff. Let me tell you how I'm making it. Let me tell you how I'm making it. When you got hard times, you tell somebody that under the influence of the Spirit, God will work in your heart. It's crazy. Gentleness. It's a respectful kindness. This is to flow through you. I put it this way. Not being rude or mean as a snake to people. The Spirit-filled Christian ought to have this. Amen? Keep looking. Goodness. It's going the extra mile for folk. That's the gift. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Faith, knowing God is in control. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Believing in God and believing God, period. Amen? Meekness is strength, but it's under control. There's a picture of it in the Bible. It's a horse with a big old horse with a bridle, with a bit in his mouth. And the idea is that I'm a war horse for Jesus. He's on my back. I can do great things through Him. I'm not running out of control because He is my Master and my Lord. Last thing, temperance, which means self-control. What does that mean? Not out of control living. How many, before you came to Christ, maybe even when you did come to Christ, but since you've lived for Christ and the Holy Spirit's come into your life, you don't live life out of control like you used to? Can I see your hands this morning? There you go. What is that? That is an evidence of the Holy Spirit's power in your life. Don't you feel second class sometimes because you don't flop like a chicken? I want to tell you something. If you had an out of control life and Jesus Christ came into your life and He's established your ways and man, you've changed and God has been working in your life, I'll take that any day over flopping like a chicken. You hearing me? Yes or no? Keep going. So what did I do in my office? Here we go. Hang in here with me. Back to the book of Acts. Witnesses of the Holy Spirit, 9 of them. 9 fruits of the Spirit. And I just sort of looked at the two of them together. I want you just to look. Look. Witnesses. Pop it up. There they go. Gladly receive His Word. Faith. They had that, though, didn't they, in Acts? Obedient to the Lord's commands. Meekness. I'm a war horse for You, Jesus. They were steadfast. Self-control, not out of control living. Staying steady. They feared the Lord. I put this one, love. You sacrificed for me. I'll sacrifice for You, Lord. They voluntarily served the Lord. Gentleness. That's what we need here at Fellowship Church, always a respectful kindness to one another as we serve the Lord together. Amen? That's if you want the presence of the power at the church house. They freely gave to the work of the Lord. Goodness. Why do I give? Because God put that in me. It's going the extra mile so that folks can hear about Jesus. That's a good thing, man. Continuing in unity every day. Long-suffering. Are you seeing how the witnesses in Acts 2 sort of have something to do with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22? Y'all seeing that, yes or no? What I'm trying to say so often, let's look at the last one. Praise the Lord regardless. Joy. Isn't that what sustains you in your hard times? Say that you know that God still lives in your house. Does that help you, yes or no? He's with me regardless. And walking in the favor of the Lord, peace. You have peace? Even in your storms? Have you found it? Man, are you amazed that sometimes you've still got peace in your life? The peace of God? What's the point? I think I lost the point. The point is that so often we think, and I'm almost done, we often think that the power of the Holy Spirit is goofy. We think the power of the Holy Spirit means I've got to fall down and flop like a chicken. Fall and flop like a chicken if you want. It's not going to bother me. Don't do it when I'm preaching. It's going to bother me. If you want to go to the beach at sunset and fall down and flop like a chicken, have at it. Amen? But what I'm saying so often, maybe you don't think like I do here, but so often we think about the power of the Holy Spirit and it's sort of spooky, it's a little goofy. And what I'm trying to make the case to be today is these were normal things that these guys did. Even though they were supernatural things they did, they lined right up with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So I believe the power of the Holy Spirit works through the witnesses that we've seen in Acts 2 and also the fruits that we see in Acts 5. And that's the power. Does that make sense? I mean, that's the big deal. Because I didn't see one of these guys, unless it's not in the text, I didn't see one of these guys fall down and flop like a chicken. Did you? No. They did what they did, and I put it on the screen what they did. Let's finish the message. This is sort of, I don't know what you call it. It's something I wrote in my office this week about what I saw, but it's like a covenant. It's a covenant. And I'm probably going to print this because I like it. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is in my life. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is in my life. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is in my life. Would you say these with me one by one? I gladly receive God's Word because I have faith. Because the power of the Holy Spirit's in my life. Keep looking. Go ahead. I ain't reading it. Go on. Thank you. Here we go. They can read it. I can't read everything. I'm out of time. Here we go. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is in my life. Read it with me. I am obedient to the Lord's commands because I am meek. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is in my life, I am steadfast in the Lord because I have temperance. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is in my life, I fear the Lord because I love Him. How many feared your daddy, your father, but you loved your father? But you knew daddy will pop you. You knew you had to respect him, right? Not everybody had a father like that. That's the father you have in God. He loves you, but he'll chasten you. Because the power of the Holy Spirit's in my life, I will help me. I will voluntarily serve the Lord because I have gentleness. Because the power of the Holy Spirit's in my life, I freely give to the work of the Lord. Help me. Because I have goodness. These are fruit. This is the kind of tree I am. I'm called a spiritual tree. Amen? And these fruit are coming out of me. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is in my life, I will continue in unity every day. Why? Because I am. That's inside of me. Because the power of the Holy Spirit's in my life, I praise the Lord regardless because I have joy. And last thing, because the power of the Holy Spirit's in my life, I walk in the favor of the Lord because I have peace. Now, I don't know if you got the message or not. Hope you did. I was a little all over the place today. Amen? The presence of the power. I think if you want the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to really think through what we said today and really look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, and see how you do in Acts 2. You listening? And let's don't pretend we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our life if we don't have the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Say. They go together. Amen. Let's praise the Lord for His Word this morning. Can we do that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Good Word today. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for listening.